The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Monday, January 28th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could be here today. Over the weekend, we got so much content for the show, we're not even be able to get it all in the 2 hours that we have here. So, hang on tight, buckle your seatbelts. On today's show, we have video of Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, who was speaking at a marijuana policy project town hall meeting just yesterday. I was there right in the front row, able to get you great video of the congressman and of Steve Fox, one of the leaders of Marijuana Policy Project, explaining why Oregon really should wait till 2016 to try to legalize marijuana. We'll get to as much of that as we can in the Radical Rant. We'll continue Congressman Blumenauer's remarks into hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Also on today's show, listen to your mother. We got a guest from Moms for Marijuana. Dana Arvidson will be joining us. She's putting together the cannabis quilt. She's also with Tennesseans for Medical Marijuana. So we will talk to her about the fight for ending marijuana prohibition in Tennessee and how that affects mothers and parents all across that state. Also on today's show, we go behind the headlines. There was a Huffington Post live talk today on Obama's war on medical marijuana, and it featured drug warrior Dr. Paul Chabot, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly there, Dr. Paul Chabot, who makes Dr. Kevin Sabet look absolutely sane by comparison. You won't believe what he compared marijuana to. We'll get to that behind the headlines. We've got the video for you. But first, we've got to go into our 420 radio news, where we've got headlines from California, where the Supreme Court will be taking a look at medical marijuana banning, the banning of dispensaries. We have also got a story coming out of Kansas, where they're introducing a medical marijuana bill. We'll give you the news version of the Oregon speech by Representative Blumenauer. A new medical marijuana trade group has launched in Massachusetts, featuring one of our good friends of the show, and a look at parenting and pot in Colorado. How will legalizing marijuana affect child custody and divorce proceedings in the Rocky Mountain State? All that and more coming up on The Russ Belleville Show right here on 420radio.org. Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Hi, everybody. Radical Russ Belleville here with a very special announcement. 420radio.org is hosting an auction this Tuesday, January 29th at 3 p.m. to benefit Brave Michaela, the 7-year-old girl using medical marijuana to fight cancer. Michaela Comstock was featured on The Ricky Lake Show and was the Oregonian's number 2 video story of 2012. She will be live in studio with her parents, Aaron Purchase and Brandon Krenzler, taking live calls and auctioning donated items to raise money for medical expenses. She made national headlines when it was revealed that she is using medical marijuana in her treatment regimen for childhood leukemia. And this will mark her first live media appearance on The Russ Belville Show to promote the auction and telethon Tuesday, January 29th at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Hi, I'm Trickster Phillips from St. Charles County, Missouri, and you're listening.
California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times cannabis celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 28th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Oregon seen as next battleground for marijuana legalization. From Oregon Live and The Oregonian. Steve Fox, Government Relations Director for the influential Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project, which helped draft Colorado's constitutional amendment legalizing marijuana, spoke Sunday at a town hall gathering of marijuana activists. Oregon is on a short list of states, which includes California and Maine, seen as prime candidates for legalizing pot in 2016, he said. Fox joined U.S. Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, who spoke about marijuana's growing prominence nationally, his strong support for reclassifying the drug from its current federal status, in which it is viewed as a drug with no accepted medical use. He also spoke about his support for reforming federal banking rules so marijuana-related legal businesses can get access to, quote, a full range of banking services, end quote. Timing of an Oregon initiative is key, Fox said. Getting a legalization measure on the 2016 ballot, a presidential election year, would translate into greater voter support than if activists tried in 2014. Fox said the extra 2 years gives voters the chance to see how legalization has worked in Colorado and Washington. But his advice to wait another 3 years for another legalization initiative was a tough sell for some Oregon activists. They cite Oregon's proximity to Washington and the relatively narrow defeat of Measure 80, Oregon's legalization ballot measure, as reasons for pursuing an initiative sooner. Quote, "There is a lot of pressure right now," said Russ Belville, a Portland marijuana legalization activist and host of a radio show dedicated to cannabis news and culture. "There is a part of me that says strike while the iron is hot," end quote. But Fox stressed the risks involved with pushing for an initiative before 2016. Quote, "I would never say winning in 2014 is impossible," he said. "It might be possible, but you are going to have to invest a lot of money, and then you might end up with a loss. And for what? Is it worth it?" he asked. California Supreme Court to address medical marijuana dispensaries. From IVN.us. After the federal government's large-scale crackdown on medical marijuana dispensaries throughout 2011 and 2012, the California Supreme Court will now revisit the issue to determine the legality of counties banning dispensaries. On February 5th, the California Supreme Court will hear arguments regarding this issue, which the legislature has yet to define state laws or pass beneficial regulations. If the court upholds the bans of local governments, it is extremely likely that many more will follow suit. Since the passage of Proposition 215 in 1996, the Compassionate Use Act, Several cities around the state have remained in limbo. Each city typically takes one of four approaches to dispensaries: dispensary bans, dispensary moratoriums, dispensary regulation ordinances, or the choice to have no local regulation of medical marijuana. Medical marijuana trade group set to debut in Massachusetts from the Boston Globe. A trade group for the state's medical marijuana business is being started this week by industry consultants, lawyers, public relations officials, patients, and business leaders. The Massachusetts Medical Marijuana Association will be affiliated with the industry's national trade group, the National Cannabis Industry Association, and is scheduled to host its official launch event February 7th at the Omni Parker House in Boston. The Denver-based medical marijuana law firm Vicente Cederberg, which has advised numerous states and local governments on the implementation of medical marijuana policies, is leading the trade group's public policy team. Quote, "The MMMA is the only association in Massachusetts with the expertise and experience in successfully implementing medical marijuana legislation," said Shailene Title, executive director of the new group and a partner with Vicente Cederberg, in a statement. Kansas State Senator introduces medical marijuana bill from FoxNews.com. Senator David Haley, a Democrat from Kansas City, Kansas, has introduced a medical marijuana bill which would allow Kansas to join 18 states and the District of Columbia in allowing people to use marijuana with a doctor's order. The Topeka Capital Journal reports the measure would allow patients to have up to 6 ounces of marijuana and grow up to a dozen plants at home. Senator Mary Pilcher Cook, chairwoman of the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, says the measure won't get a hearing during the current legislative session. Currently in Kansas, illegally obtaining marijuana for a health condition can mean a year in jail, and growing your own pot can mean up to 17 years in state prison. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, Monday, January 28th, 2013. I'm Russ Belvel. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at drug warrior Paul Chabot and his comparison of marijuana to child pornography. Also coming up later, the full video of Representative Earl Blumenauer at the Marijuana Policy Project Town Hall in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to The Russ Belvel Show on 420radio.org.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And earlier this morning, there was a Huffington Post Live segment on Obama's war on weed. Ryan Grimm has co-written one of the best write-ups on the past 4 years of marijuana policy on the Huffington Post, and you should definitely log on there and read the entire thing. It's a bit long, but it gives you every detail about the politics involved in here. Ryan Grimm was a panelist on the Huffington Post Live today, along with Steph Shearer, the executive director of Americans for Safe Access, and excuse me for forgetting the name, but the gentleman who runs the420times.com. His name escapes me at the moment. The reason why is because I am so incensed about the comments by the fourth member of the panel, brought in apparently for balance, and it's getting harder and harder to bring anyone in who will support the drug war. But Dr. Paul Chabot, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing the name, but Dr. Paul Chabot in California, who's got to be one of the most strident drug warriors out there. He absolutely makes Kevin Sabet seem rational and sane in comparison. Let me play you this 2-minute clip from Huffington Post Live and see if you aren't as outraged as I am.
I don't follow the argument that, okay, nobody gets busted for it, so therefore we should keep it illegal. Can you connect the logic of that one?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've been to California, for example, it's a $100 citation for possession. So already you're not going to go to prison. If you look at our prisons in California, we're releasing felons left and right on our streets. I was a commissioner on our state parole board, worked in our state prison system. I never once came across somebody in there for minor possession of pot.
Then why do we keep it illegal? I don't understand your point.
Well, why do we keep heroin, LSD, prostitution, child pornography illegal? I mean, it's a pretty simple
point. Child pornography
point.
And marijuana? Okay.
Yes, because drugs destroy lives. We have more addicts in this country today than we have had in a long time. It's a shame when there's so many issues in the community that we could be working on. There's organizations and people who are trying to not just legalize marijuana, but all drugs across the board, and that's a shame.
The head of the DEA now has been a DEA agent since 1980. You know, this is what the DEA and the Department of Justice know, and they look at these pot shops opening up, and they just recoil. You know, they just on a moral and an ethical level, they look at it and they're offended. Just like Paul's saying, you know, he cannot imagine that he lives in a country where some people who are sick or who have gone to their doctor and have gotten a recommendation are allowed to just walk into a shop and buy marijuana. It just drives them insane.
Can I respond to that?
Totally crazy. And they start talking about child pornography.
So that is the segment from Huffington Post Live. You can check the entire segment out. It's still available online. You can go watch that if you have the stomach to watch the whole thing. It's pretty amazing. But let me get to some of the other things. You know, of course, he compared marijuana use to child pornography, because, you know, when I roll up a fatty and smoke it in my home, it's a lot like taking a small child and forcing them to perform sexual acts and then filming it and then selling it to people. They're a lot alike, Dr. Chabot. And this is the thing, you know, I get responses from people like Kevin Sabet, who's like, don't demonize me, don't demonize me. Really? And you hear stuff like this, and that's not demonization? Calling us basically pervs and pedos, or comparing us to that? Oh my God. Let me give you a few of the other points that Chabot made. And it was really remarkable for Ryan Grimm and Steph Scherer and the guy from 420 Times? Yeah, the 420 Times to hold their tongue while this was going on. I live tweeted it. Well, it wasn't actually live. I was watching it late and pausing it. But let me give you some of the things that he put up here. If I can scroll back and find this. Here we go. He was saying, let's see. That only 0.5 to 1% of prisoners are in prison just for marijuana. Really? Well, since we have a prison population of 2.2 million people, that works out to 11,000 to 22,000 adults in prison for nothing but marijuana. He also said, let's see, we have a lot more addicts in this country than we've had in a long time. Well, according to the 1979 National Surveys on Drug Use and Health, 13.7% of U.S. adults use drugs this month. In 96, it was 6.1%. And in 2011, it was 8.8%. So we're 5 percentage points worse than the most addicts in this country we've ever seen in a long time. And that's by defining people who use marijuana or other drugs in a month as an addict. And as far as the kids, because, you know, the next thing they'll want to know is what about the kids? The numbers are even more stark. 24% of kids 12 to 17 years old used marijuana in the prior year in 1979. And now that number's down to 14% in the prior year. So there are not more addicts out there. What else he said? Oh, he says the legalizers have outspent us 100 to 1 Oh, us legalizers, us well-funded George Soros billionaire legalizers outspent them 100-1. Unless you count the $15 billion that the U.S. government spends every year keeping marijuana illegal and propagandizing against its use, medical or recreational. You can find Dr. Paul Chabot on Twitter at DrPaulChabot. Give him a ring. Let's engage that guy, too. Let's have a little bit of fun with it. Oh, can you believe this stuff, Brian?
You know, I still can.
Yeah, really, actually. I can believe they believe this.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Fun, fun, fun.
Mm. Don't let him down.
Oh yeah.
No, 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 no.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah. Feels good, right? Feels right.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollery, rollery,
rollery. Don't let him down.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 22 after the hour. Hoping you're having a good 420 break. Every Monday, we have a show at 8 o'clock Pacific time. We call the New Viper Hour, and 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every Monday night, you can catch up on all sorts of great music from the last century, the reefer jazz era, some big band stuff, some blues stuff, all from pre-1950 or maybe even 1960 sometimes when we stretch it. And mostly focusing on what we call reefer jazz. That would be the era of music popularized by Cab Calloway and Mez Mezro, Louis Armstrong, and others that celebrated the culture in Harlem and some of the other places where the jazz musicians were playing, New Orleans and so forth, where drug use was known of and talked about in code. A lot of different songs that we play on the Viper Hour, and I hope you can join us every Monday at 8 o'clock. So for Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes here on the Russ Belville Show, we'd like to give you a little taste of what you'll hear at 8 o'clock tonight on the New Viper Hour. This is a song that is from Tampa Red and the Chicago Five. It features Blind John Davis. Now, Tampa Red was born in 1904, died in 1981. Was an accomplished blues guitarist with a slide style, one of the first slide guitarists out there that made it very popular with his bottleneck technique that influenced other great guitarists like Bill Brunzi, Robert Nighthawk, Muddy Waters, Elmore James, and others. Let's get to it. It's Tampa Red and the Chicago Five featuring Blind John Davis with the very simple song, I'm Gonna Get High.
It ain't no lie, and swing a bowl and have a ball. I'm gonna get high, for me, for mine. Nobody know why. Oh, my baby, don't you cry. I'm gonna gonna get high, and it ain't no lie. And swing a mole and have a ball, I'm gonna get high. Oh, me, oh, my, nobody know why. Oh, my baby, don't you cry, I'm gonna get high. It ain't no need of no one trying to shame me, yeah, yeah. For what it take, I've got it. Who could blame me? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna get high. I'll do it or die. Swing a ball and have a ball. I'm gonna get high. With me now.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Vetran from Chula Vista, California, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 29 after the hour, and joining us by telephone from Tennessee, I believe, we've got Dana Arvidsson from Moms for Marijuana in our Listen to Your Mother segment. Dana, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh, hi, everybody.
Hi, so glad to talk to you today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. It's very, very busy because, you know, there's plenty of states still where marijuana is not legal, and we got to do something about it.
Yes, Tennessee is one of them, unfortunately.
Well, tell us what you're doing in Tennessee. How are you fighting the drug war there?
Well, I'm with Overgrow the Government and with Moms for Marijuana as well. And at 420, we're having our quilts again available for everyone to see down in D.C. at Lafayette Park. We have the main Moms for Marijuana quilt, which is a patch for every state, and presidential quotes, and just some facts and figures and some information about what prohibition has done to our country.
That's excellent.
And
so
we have a unity quilt, which is different groups that have gotten together, and that is an ever-growing piece. We just keep on adding and adding and adding as we find more groups that are helping us with this fight.
That's excellent. How many quilts, then, total are you working on?
We have three. We have the unity quilt, the cannabis quilt. We also have a POW quilt, Prisoners of the Cannabis War, Prisoners of Prohibition. And so that's another big one we're working on, and a Canadian quilt as well.
Wow, that's excellent. If people want to get involved and maybe contribute to the quilts, how can they contact you?
They can contact us through, if you give me one second, after you look up that email, cannabisquilt@momsformarijuana.org.
And that's with the number 4, Moms for Marijuana?
Yeah, that's Moms for Marijuana. And that will get you, just mention, you know, the quilts, and then from we'll go from there. You might want to be involved in more than one quilt.
Sure.
We have several moms that are involved in more than one quilt. And we're not just moms. We're, you know, grandparents and fathers and just really anybody that wants to help join the fight against cannabis prohibition.
Now, when you're going around Tennessee and you're talking to people about working with your group and working with Moms for Marijuana, what is the reaction you get? Because I imagine that some people in the Bible Belt would still say, what, you're for marijuana? How can you be for marijuana?
We get that a lot. I get that a lot. It depends on what part of Tennessee you're in. In the area that I live, it's very rural, and that's pretty much what you get. That's the attitude. If you go to the larger cities, though, they're a little bit more progressive, and a lot of them will go, oh, yay, well, great, how do I get involved? And then I hand them my business card.
That's fantastic.
And we try to get them involved, to get them to meetings. We have chapters all over the country. It's very easy to find out. You can go to monstermarijuana.org and plug that in and find which state you live in and the area and just put in chapters, and the chapters will pop up. And we are always welcoming more people joining the chapters and more people wanting to start their own chapters.
That's always good. I always feel that the local grassroots activists are the best, because then it's your county supervisor, your sheriff, your representative having to look their own constituents in the face and say, you belong in a cage.
Exactly. I mean, as we all know, it's wrong on so many levels. I could probably, you know, talk for 10 hours just about that.
Absolutely.
But, I find a surprising undercurrent of support in the rural areas. But because of confiscation laws, you know, imprisonment, people are still very afraid to come forward. And I find that very sad, especially farmers who could really use the income.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you're also involved with Tennesseans for Medical Marijuana, and I've followed the fight in Tennessee a little bit and seen a couple of times where a bill will get proposed, but it doesn't really go anywhere. Can you give us any updates on the fate of medical marijuana in Tennessee?
Right now, the bill, sadly, our two Republican supporters were voted out last session. So right now we are looking for a Republican to support the bill. That's about all I know at this time.
Was their support of medical marijuana used against them in their defeat, or was it even mentioned?
I really don't think it was that much of an issue.
Okay.
I can't really be positively to speak to that because they're both out of Memphis and I live in the middle of the state.
Gotcha. So, you know, working with Moms for Marijuana and being a parent yourself, how do you talk to people and explain to them? Because I think one of the things, that some parents may cling to is a, because I said so argument that, like, it's easy for me to keep my kids away from pot because I can just say, well, it's against the law. So given that we are fighting for legalization, how would you help parents explain to their kids to not use marijuana, even when it's legal?
Even when it's legal? That to me is dependent on the situation. I have to say I'm one of those moms that helped one of my children get cannabis.
Oh, tell us about that.
He was very ill, and he had a lot of stomach issues and a lot of pain issues with the stomach problems, and they put him on all kinds of medication. One actually caused seizures. I said, you know, I know you're going to do it. I didn't condone him doing it, but when they did do it, him and his friends, I always had them come to their house because at least they were safe, because I really didn't feel what they were doing was wrong. But when he became very ill, we found that really, really helped him. It helped the pain. It helped the nausea. It helped him keep food down. And to this day, it's very difficult for him to eat if he does not have medication.
And so basically you're talking about a child here for, you know, needing a medical use of cannabis. This is a this is a story we've been telling a lot, with the story of Brave Michaela and Alex Eccles and Jaden James and Joy Perez. And the names keep piling up of kids that are benefiting greatly from medical use of cannabis. And before I forget, let me mention also that tomorrow we're doing a 6-hour live auction fundraiser for Brave Michaela. BraveMichaela.com. Just check us out at 420radio.org. Starting at 3, we'll put up in our forums the different prizes that will be available that you can bid on in the forums, and we'll be going all 6 hours like a telethon to help raise money. So this is an issue that's very, very important to us, this medical use for children, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm inferring here that you didn't end up in any legal trouble for this.
No, I didn't. Cautious. Above all, cautious. You know, I did not want my child to get into legal trouble, and I certainly myself did not want to get into legal trouble. I really didn't get active as an activist until several years after my father-in-law had passed away. And anger is what fueled that. He died of colon cancer for 4 years. He suffered. And I'm using cannabis in the other end of the house and not even realizing I'm using it medicinally at the time. I was using it for stress, and, you know, I was on a lot of medications, unfortunately, at the time, which I had ceased using because of cannabis, which is awesome. But then I found out that the government had known about it for, you know, decades, that it could have saved his life. And he did 2 tours in Nam, 3 Purple Hearts, and they knew this, and they let him suffer.
Yeah, it will definitely galvanize one to become a marijuana activist. I've found in my history here that people become activists either because they got busted or the medical issue, somebody they knew or they themselves suffered. And there are some who get involved in activism just purely as an intellectual pursuit, as, you know, justice and the law and so forth. But by and large, I find most people were either busted or it was a medical issue for them. So, you know, I'm sorry to hear about those medical things, but again, it sounds like you've learned the lessons from them and have turned your anger into a positive direction by fighting for marijuana legalization.
Yes, I have, and it gives me comfort in knowing, you know, that hopefully, you know, we can help just that one other person or that second other person. The harder we fight, the more we gain, and once it is legalized, you know, medically throughout the country, everybody will get the help that they need. I also have, however, in agreement that it should be legalized for all over 21.
And what sort of reasons do you give? Because I can imagine, you know, we look nationwide and there's like 80% support for medical marijuana nationwide. And even in a conservative area like Tennessee, it's going to be 60-70% support, but not always as great a support for legalization. So how do you break through to the people that are like, yeah, I support for cancer, sure, but, you know, just smoking a joint to get high. How do you break through to them?
You bring up the facts of alcohol, for one, and harder drugs, which have nothing to do with cannabis. I mean, alcohol is legal.
Right.
And we all know what that can do to you. I mean, I would get into a car with somebody that smoked, but I would never get into a car with somebody that drank.
Right, right. And are these persuasive arguments for people in Tennessee? Do you find them agreeing with those notions?
When they actually think about it and they go, because a lot of people don't even think about it in that context.
Right.
Now, we've been so conditioned by the government that, oh, it's illegal, it's got to be bad, Well, now people are finally waking up to all the things that are just the opposite. You know, you might say it's illegal, but cannabis actually is very beneficial to all of us. And I would, like I said, you know, I would rather get in a car with somebody that smoked and not somebody that drank. Chances are somebody that's drinking is going to get in an accident. Somebody that smokes, no, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I welcome that perspective of yours, because one of the goals I've got here with 420 Radio is to help people in all parts of the country build up their rhetoric and their talking points with respect to, you know, how to deal with different groups of people. I got one from one of our listeners, Trickster Phillips. He's in St. Charles, Missouri. I think it was Trickster that came up with this one, that putting marijuana in Schedule 1, like heroin, sends a message to kids that heroin is as safe as marijuana.
Oh, I have a very good story about that.
Yeah.
Yes. DARE. Yeah, DARE. I'm not real happy with DARE, but I'm happy that they dropped marijuana from the things that they speak about. Because prior to that, I have a friend that has a child that went to school and went to a DARE meeting. My friend has been a medical cannabis user for many years. His son is well aware of why he uses it and that it is legal for him. And he understands the situation completely. Well, he goes to their meeting, and they said, or inferred, that cannabis was just as bad as heroin.
Right.
And he comes home, and thank goodness he said something to his father. Because, you know, he knows that cannabis, that's not true. He knows, he sees his dad have it.
Right.
His dad doesn't go insane. His dad doesn't spend everything that his family owns to go get a drug. He understands this. So if he actually believes his dad and then confirms that to the meeting, then he's going to think that heroin is just as safe as cannabis. And that is a dangerous precedent to set.
Yes, absolutely agreed. Dana Arvidsson with Moms for Marijuana, executive director of fundraising for many cannabis quilts, and with Tennesseans for medical marijuana, you got almost as many hats as I do. You're doing great work there in Tennessee. We all appreciate you standing up in the middle of the country where it's a lot tougher than out here on the coast. Before we let you go, do you have any other contacts, websites, or words for our audience?
Yes, I also am the founder of Medical Marijuana for Tennesseans. You can hit me up on Facebook. And I'm looking forward to the auction tomorrow. I saw that on Facebook as well. So definitely that is an awesome, awesome thing you're doing. I applaud it. And I really, really hope it's successful.
All right. Dana Arvidsson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. And we'll talk to you again sometime.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
All right. When we come back, we're going to the Radical Rant time. But we're going to turn it over to Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon. Stick around.
You smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs are meant to smoke to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
A huge percentage of the murder cases I'm involved in have some kind of illegal drug distribution component. Drug policy kills more people than the drugs themselves. In 1900, when you could buy heroin in a Sears mail order catalog, the government statistics were that approximately 1.3% of the U.S. population had a drug addiction problem. In 2010, after a 40-year war on drugs, the government estimates that about 1.3% of the population has a drug addiction problem. The statistics are identical. 100 million Americans have admitted they've used illegal drugs. It isn't like a fringe element that's doing it. If you regulated them as a health issue instead of as a criminal moral issue, you could much more effectively regulate them. When you talk to a group of people, liberal or conservative, old or young, and they listen to the facts, they come out of there saying, wow, this really is a crazy thing to be doing.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Yesterday, an audience of about, I'd say 75 to 100, mostly marijuana law reform advocates in Portland, Oregon, gathered at the Matt Dishman Community Center in Portland for a town hall meeting that was organized by Marijuana Policy Project, Roy Kaufman, who is their Oregon director. Steve Fox from Marijuana Policy Project at the national level was there as well to speak to the activists about the need to wait for 2016 to pursue a marijuana legalization initiative. But opening the event was Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Democrat from Oregon. He's actually my U.S. representative here from Multnomah County. We'll turn the video over to Representative Blumenauer, and also we will continue this all throughout hour two. So you'll get the first half here in the hour one podcast, second half in hour two, which is available for VIPs at 420radio.org. Click on Join Us to join us here at 420 Radio and become a member to help support your 24-hour cannabis community radio. Turn it over now to Representative Earl Blumenauer. Oh, and one dog.
I appreciate the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And Steve, welcome welcome to Oregon. Since I've been a high school student, I watched the escalation of the war on drugs, especially marijuana. I was perhaps somewhat detached as someone who's not inhaled or even tried it in any form, I slowly became aware of the widespread use. As a legislator, as Roy mentioned 40 years ago, my opinions on this issue were dramatically influenced by the presentation of an Eastern Oregon hog farmer named Stafford Hansel, a Republican from Hermiston, Oregon. For perhaps 20 minutes, Stafford held spellbound, I would say, the people on the floor of the House of Representatives and in a packed gallery as Stafford made a very systematic comparison of marijuana to the effects of other substances, both legal and illegal. Now, he was an older gentleman who didn't smoke, didn't drink alcohol. I don't think he drank coffee, let alone use marijuana. But he very systematically made his case. How tobacco was highly addictive and killed hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. He talked about alcohol, whose damaging properties once had led the country to a disastrous experience with prohibition that was damaging to some and led to dementia for many, contributing to tens of thousands of highway deaths every year. By the time he got around to marijuana, he had convinced me that the bill he was advocating, a two-plant legalization bill, by the way, was not just worthy of my support, which I was already inclined to do, but it was something that I should actually advocate. Oregonians should be allowed this choice. I was, 40 years later, I think the case is more compelling. Although we didn't legalize marijuana in 1972, although I was assured by people who knew a lot more about the subject than I did, that if the 22 of us who voted for it were joined by the people who smoked marijuana but voted no, that the bill would have passed easily. What we did do was have Oregon become the first state to decriminalize the use of marijuana, where possession of a small amount was like a minor traffic infraction, treated like a traffic ticket. 14 states are now in the column following Oregon's lead. In 1996, as a number of you are aware, probably all of you, California pioneered the legal use of medical marijuana, where the therapeutic qualities have long been known. Today, we have 18 states and the District of Columbia that allow the use to relieve chronic pain, symptoms of nausea. Notably, two-thirds of these jurisdictions which permit medical marijuana do so as a result of a vote of the people. And of course, the sort of the seismic shift took place last fall, where Washington and Colorado, thanks to Steve in no small part, approved adult recreational use. Studies show that a majority of Americans now agree and support is growing. It is time for the federal government to revisit its policies. Even though we have seen drugs with less serious classification, meth and cocaine, have more serious law enforcement, health, and behavioral impacts, marijuana retains its Schedule I classification. We continue to arrest and imprison people for using a substance that millions use, more and more have tried, and as I said a moment ago, a majority of Americans, small, but a majority yet, appear to support legalization. Because there are some stark differences in the uses of illegal drugs relating from enforcement varying widely across the board, there are disparities in terms of income and race that also need to be addressed. medical marijuana is widely accepted now, but subject to inherent conflict with federal law that creates real problem for law enforcement in terms of people who are involved with legitimate business right here in Oregon. The conflict between state and federal law is unfair, it's costly, and confusing. It's interesting, while a majority of Americans, not an overwhelming majority at this point, support legalization, when the question is whether or not the federal government should interfere with what state voters have decided, that percentage goes 70%. Say, no, let the states decide and federal government stay out of the way. In the words of President Obama, they're bigger fish to fry. Now, I am hopeful that you are going to see some action in this new Congress with people in a bipartisan fashion taking a step back and looking in a comprehensive way at a range of the issues that are involved here. What happens when there's a conflict between state and federal law? Dealing with the classification of the federal level of this being a Schedule I prohibited substance. Dealing with the financial and tax implications of people who are involved with what is a legal business in 19 jurisdictions. These are all areas that we need to take a step back, reassess. Things like the production of industrial hemp that is inconceivable. We allow hemp products, right? It's just that we have to import it from other countries. And Oregon agriculture cannot produce a valuable product here at home. And there is, for instance, bipartisan interest in addressing that issue. And I think there very likely to be progress. It is, I think, important that we here in Oregon, who have been on the cutting edge of this issue, where there, I know from past experience, there are strong opinions in Oregon. It's important to have forums like this where people have an opportunity to address the issues, raise questions, and be involved with public discussion of public policy, priorities, what the federal government should or should not do. There are today, at a time when federal dollars are in, and state and local dollars are in, shall we say, short supply, many demands from healthcare to education to our crumbling infrastructure, are we going to spend $50 to $200 billion over the next 10 years dealing with the enforcement of this law? These are valid questions that I think it's important for us to have an opportunity to discuss. I am pleased to be working with a bipartisan group that is looking at a variety of these issues, and I am confident within the next month to 2 months there will be a range of issues that that will be addressed through legislation on the federal level. And then there will be, I think, a more robust conversation nationally, because this is something that is stirring people's attention. And I think it is time to take a step back, dealing with the equities, the opportunities, the challenges, how it relates to federalism, the economy, and health. You've got a real expert here to hear from, but I would welcome, if there are comments that people want to make or questions, I would be happy to address a few of them, if that's still appropriate.
Absolutely. Why don't we just start with the hand. Representative
Blumenauer, can you give us any updates on the federal efforts to let the states do, you know, have their own way on marijuana policy, like Representative DeGette's bill that she's put forth?
There will be legislation introduced in the new Congress that one of the elements that that will be introduced is separate legislation that would indicate that when states have decided that something is legal, that the federal government ought not to interfere. There will be legislation introduced, debated. I don't know the fate of it, but I anticipate now that there is more support growing as people look at these conflicts with, as I say, the 19 jurisdictions with medical marijuana, two states now where it's legal, in the state of Colorado, it's embedded in the state constitution. They have no choice. We've been in consultation with the Department of Justice seeking clarification because I take the president at his word that they have bigger fish to fry. There are still some federal officials in drug enforcement and law enforcement who are still frying those fish. And I'm hopeful. And I must say that I have sympathy for them because there is a stated conflict, which is why we want Congress to analyze and hopefully clear up the controversy. But in the meantime, we have been in consultation with the Department of Justice to take it down a notch, to be able to work this out and hopefully have Congress clarify the law.
With Congress in the hands of the Republicans, do you anticipate even getting hearings on these bills?
The issues that we are talking about, states' rights, issues like medical marijuana, looking at the merit of its current treatment under the law, there is bipartisan interest in exploring this. Remember, this isn't a red state, blue state issue. Arizona approved a ballot measure for medical marijuana, and that's been kind of a red state. One of the champions in the last Congress, we kind of keyed off Barney Frank, and the Republican there was Ron Paul, who's not exactly a flaming liberal. And there now are two states that have probably, I would say, eight Republican members of Congress who have been put in this conflict situation. So I think there, and one of the members who's, I think, going to be leading the charge on changing the designation on hemp is a Republican.
That's Representative Earl Blumenauer speaking yesterday at the Matt Dishman Center here in Portland. We're going to bring you more coverage of this speech, this important speech by Representative Blumenauer, plus some more questions from the audience, and plenty more on Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Make sure you join us, and if you'd like the podcast, just sign up for a VIP membership, 420radio.org. Find the Join Us link. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here at the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.